But I've got to say, it is especially good to have you in the room. It is nice to see some people in chairs after 14 months or so. So good to start opening up again and just to be looking at faces and people that are breathing and moving and rather than empty chairs. So, but
we've all been here for the last 14 months.
You have.
Your staff gathers all the time.
I know.
And
they
think we're breathing when we're here most days.
Most days. But it is so it's great, and yet it's also a bit of a bittersweet morning because this is a special day on another front. This is the day
the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made, but it's also the day that you're stepping off the staff team after 14 years, and it has been a journey, and it has been exciting, and it has been thrilling. And you're going to tell us some stories, because you may not know this about Rick, but one of the great things about Rick is he is our staff storyteller. Rick's always got stories, and he always encourages us. Sometimes we roll his eyes at some of his stories, but Rick is our storyteller, and so we wanted to give him an opportunity on his last Sunday to tell some stories of some of the ministries that you've been involved with. Let's start with Serve the City.
Oh, sure. There's history in all that, though.
Yeah.
So 14 years ago, you hired me as an executive pastor. And I'm sure that the board members around here are probably thinking, what the heck did we do? But I am hoping that in 14 years, I've proved my worth and my value to this ministry. It's been an incredible experience. Serve the City started actually through a conversation I had with my aunt in Winnipeg 13 years ago. And she was telling us about an event that they did called Love Winnipeg. And where the churches got together and they supported the community. I came back and shared it with the staff as we were up at Fireweed for a retreat up there. And we started going. And I think that Christmas, my son and I were at the Armories doing the mustard seed Christmas dinner. We were serving with the team. And he had his Laritz ball jacket on. And Mayor Leonard and the Mayor of Victoria were standing behind us, and they noticed the jacket, and Leonard always came and threw the first pitch in at Laritz every year. And so we got to talking, and I knew who they were, and I said, hey, I've got an idea for you. And I pitched the idea of HelloFest. I don't know how many of you have been around that can remember HelloFest when we took out the...
I forgot all about it.
Yeah, so HelloFest started, and so I said to the mayor of Sandwich, I said, I got an idea. He said, let's get together, so I went to the office. And he says, so Rick, what do you need? I said, I want to be able to take youth off the street on Halloween night. Instead of, I was one of those that was, making, fire bombs out of ping pong balls and smoke, all that. Sorry, kids, you shouldn't know that. But so I thought, what can we do to help the municipality of Sandwich? So we started with that. And the mayor said, what do you need? I said, I need a police force and a rec center. He said, no problem, Rick, I'll make that happen, because he loved the vision. But as we went forward, it was interesting because as we started doing all the posters and started getting everything together, and it was a big deal event, we weren't allowed to put our name on the poster with Sandwich because they couldn't be seen working with a ministry or faith community. So we went off the first year. The mayor came, the police chief came that night about 11 o'clock, or I'm sorry, about 1 o'clock in the morning, and everything was smooth. It was great. We had a great event. Happened a second year, happened a third year. Before we got to that third year, we had proven ourselves to the municipality that when we said we were going to do something, we did it. We went back to the mayor and said, hey, I got another idea. How can we help? What can we do in the parks? He said, well, we've got some parks that we just can't pay the labor of our staff to do. And so we started at Mill Hill. I said, how many do you think we need? He goes, I said, how about if I bring 200 volunteers? He said, what? The Parks Department, they're questioning that. I go, 200. We showed up at 206. And we went to Mill Hill, and our job was to remove broom. We eradicated so much broom off that hill, they had to lay down nets and carry it off with a helicopter. Because 206 people for 3 hours is 618 hours of labor. Think about what you could do in 618 hours of labor. And that continued on.
Right.
And it continued on to where we started reaching out all over the city and helping organizations, nonprofit organizations, whether they were faith organizations or non-faith organizations, and they just kept welcoming us back. And we went in and we did some dirty work. You guys, I didn't say that. You did some dirty work. I just stood up front and said, hey, you guys want to get involved in this? And I did, and each time I always said, I've got this group of people who I know are passionate about serving in this community. And then I'd come back and I'd beg you to come and help us. Right? Because I committed 200, 300, 400 of you every month, every time these events go on. And eventually, those mayors, they started sitting around the council table. Stephen, you know this. And we wore our little blue Serve the City shirts. So they got to know us as the Saanich Smurfs. So at one stage, we couldn't put our name on a poster alongside Saanich. Now the council's sitting there with a conundrum of wondering how they're going to figure it out. And the mayor says, what are the Smurfs up to? Maybe they can help us. Like, how cool is that?
That's very cool.
We did an event here called Eggs Benefit.
I remember that.
And that was in support of a local park. So some vandalism occurred. There was a fire set at the kids' playground. We called Saanich, said, how can we get involved? They said, hey, we need some money. I said, we don't have $75,000. If we did, we'd be, you know, doing more than we are. So I said, well, I got an idea. And I called Pastor Darren, who had started something up in Ladysmith, and it's the Eggs Benefit, and was making omelets with all these stations. And we brought in a bunch of celebrity chefs who were people who were MLAs and local politicians. And we had police chief and fire. We had the center from the Edmonton Eskimos, who had just won the Grey Cup. We had a great time. We raised somewhere about $7,000, I think, long way from the $75,000. But we got recognized. There's a plaque in that park with Saanich Baptist names involved there, right, which is pretty cool. But that day, after we were done, after the parking lot was cleaned out, after the volunteers had gone home, it was me and the mayor sitting on the couch in the office, eating an omelet we'd made, and just having a conversation. It was, when you think about where we've been, and Steve, you always kind of prompted us that as we go out in this community, as we leave the building, we want the community to speak differently about God and his people. We're doing that.
Yeah.
And not only that, awesome. We've engaged other ministries around town. And you know what? We may not have been the start of it all, but we've certainly been a catalyst to see it all going. And there's churches all over that town now who are actually adopting their communities, their blocks, and doing this stuff on a regular basis. So
that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah, it's a great story. Serve the City is a great story. Serve the City Backpack Edition. It's continuing on, even though Rick's leaving. It's continuing on. Shiloh's going to be leading us up with Backpack Edition or Pack to School in a few weeks, so that'll be exciting. And then there was something else you got involved in. Tom Carr and myself started this little thing called Mission San Quintin down in Mexico many years ago, and you got involved leading teams at first, and then as you started to lead teams, you got more and more involved in MSQ, and MSQ became a big passion of yours, still is. I don't know how I'm gonna watch the clock to keep you timed here about MSQ, but let's talk about MSQ and Rick for a few minutes.
Okay, so I have to preface this with, like, Friday was my last day in the office. At 10:30, I had the youth pastor from Ladysmith Church come down and spend 2.5 hours with me because he wants to get involved with SBC and MSQ and send a team down. I am really proud to tell you that 2 minutes into that conversation, I already had him weeping. I had him right here because I love that. When I can make you weep, that means you're buying in. That means we're ready to go.
Right.
And he's Brazilian. He understood what it means, the impact that we're having with the schools and the homes and all that.
Right.
So that was really cool to be able to see that happen. But, you know, there are so many amazing stories, Steve. As I started writing a book when I thought, you're going to give me free reign today. And I thought, no, I just got to wing it, because if I try and go off notes, I'll be here for 3 days. So two amazing stories, I think. Like you, been to Mexico many times. I think my personal count is 12. And it doesn't take much to have a conversation with many of you to say, you got to come to Mexico and tell you a story or two, and then you come. And maybe the first time you come, you're 69 years old, and you're the elder of our church board. And the first time you go down, you meet a little boy, and he's the same age as your grandson, and you have a special connection with him. You loved your experience so much, you go back. And you go back the next year, and you want to go back and visit that little boy. And you pull up to the house, and the door flies open, And out that little boy comes and puts a bear hug on your leg and just about throws you to the ground. Now you're 70. And you keep on coming because you love it. You know, we've done it with youth for
you're
so many 70? Years.
Well, I didn't know you were 70. Man, you've aged well.
But that's one of the stories of those who come along. It doesn't take much to engage people to get excited about going.
Right.
So I've seen two things that I have to share about Mexico and about MSQ.
All right.
So the first one is we were down with the team, and as we always do, we were going to a local campo. We've now moved into the local landfill to take groceries and just to connect with the people in the community. We're there, and there's a young girl comes out of the communal bathroom. And I tell you, I wouldn't go in there with a hazmat suit on. It's disgusting. And she comes out, and she's barefooted. And she's about three, and she's sitting on the stoop about this high, trying to put her shoes on. And you always kidded me when the first time I was going down, because my kids, let's be honest, I spent a lot of time working in the hotel business, and my kids thought that 4 stars was camping. So they just didn't really understand, and I didn't really understand what a third world culture was, what dirt was like. To have it in you, on you, and through you all day long. This little girl comes into the bathroom, and she's got bare feet, and I'm walking over, and I'm going, oh, I gotta help her. I just gotta help her. And I walked over, and I helped her put her shoes on, and I ran immediately to Sue Johnson, because I knew she had hand sanitizer with her, because I had touched this dirty little child. Forgive me, Lord. That little child was made in the same image that I was made in. That little child is loved by God, the same as I am loved by God, and has been given a different state in life than I have been blessed with. So it's my job to go and support her and others like her. You took down 750 pairs of shoes. We were part of that. So this is the story I'm going to tell. This is the great story today. Oh, we were at the campo one time, though. We went down there, and we were told there were 35 people going to be at the campo that night. So we had.
Is this a story or is this a side story?
It's to the first one. I'll make it quick, I promise.
Oh, that's all right. Okay. We're just following along.
Yeah, I'm going back to where I was.
Yeah, okay.
So we're back at the campo where these kids.
What's a campo for those that don't know what a campo is?
A campo is it's like row housing. It's a combination that's been given by the farmer for the migrant pickers. And a home could be 8x8, and you could have 5 people living in it with right. just hammocks. Hanging from corner to corner, and that's their accommodation. There could be children involved, and moms and dads, and yeah, it's pretty horrific, and it's filthy, and they may have, like I said, a communal bathroom outside. But while we were there, we were told this one time we went, there were 35 people at the base. Chris, you might have been on this trip. And we got there, and we'd had the cook at the church make the pot of soup that we always take. We take down Glinner soup and add some nice nutrition to it with meat and macaroni and stuff. And we took down enough to feed 35 people. But when we got there, there wasn't 35 people. There was probably 60 people. And we fed 60 people. Not only did we feed 60 people, we kept feeding 60 people. They were coming back for seconds. And after they were full, they went into their homes. And they got their buckets. They got their pots. They got their bowls. And we just kept pouring it. And pouring it. It was loaves and fishes, and I saw it right in my own hand. It was so cool to be a part of that. Another thing is, on my first trip down with you, we went to a place where they were doing, Greg and Allison had set up a breakfast club.
Correct, yep.
Yep, and I think we fed 250 kids breakfast that day.
We fed a lot, yep.
And we also took down 750 pairs of shoes, thanks to the support of the church, to give to these kids who had shoes, because you'd ran into a little girl a month previously who needed shoes. Turned out to be an amazing day. It was a lot of fun. It was the start of our introduction, really, to what is the gang area that we work in now, or the at-risk youth kids. We didn't know it at the time, but we kind of, you know, had a chance to experience it as we left, and they were throwing rocks at our vans.
Yes.
The kids that didn't get shoes. This building had a beautiful gate around it, had a beautiful daycare and kitchen and everything. I go back in 2019 with the team in the fall, and Tom tells us that there had been a slaying, and a body was laid at the gate of this building on the Thursday night. We had finished our build. And on the Friday afternoon, after we'd had our play day and hanging out in the community, we were going to go up and be part of the soccer, the drop-in soccer that had just started to reach these kids in this community. It's kind of one of the first things we started, and that was September, and it was October we were there. So only a few weeks later, we were there. Body on the building. We go play soccer 12 hours later. After we play soccer, we go back to get a shower, and then we're going out for dinner. We pass by that area again. Now it's dark, and you can see all the lights in the community. It's the Federales, because they heard that there was going to be a gang rebuttal slaying coming back. And that was culture. We went out for dinner. We came back. The Saturday morning, we get up. We eat the delicious macadamia nut rolls that our friend Dorothy makes for us as we load the vans at 8 o'clock, and we head up back to San Diego into our homes. Tom and Lily were packing up their van, and they were getting together with the mayor, police chief, and others representing the local church to go up to that community, to that wall, and start painting over the gang graffiti that was all over that wall. While they were doing that, they had tents set up, they had some heavy music going on, kind of, you know, the vibe of the community, and the gang members stood across the road with their arms crossed, and one of them approached them and said, "Tom, you do what you got to do. We got your back." They started to serve the city, and they're starting to, in this area, take one block back at a time. An area that we've talked about that got 20 police calls a day is now down to one police call a week because of an involvement and because of a heart and because a God that led it.
Yeah, cool.
Do I have time for one more?
I'll tell you what, we'll move on. If we do, we'll come back.
It's a good one.
I know.
It's a good one.
Well, can you do it in 2 minutes?
Yes.
I'll give you 2 minutes.
So soccer goes on. We now have league soccer. So there's 10 teams involved. We have tournaments. Tom puts on this tournament. He comes to the day of the tournament, and in this truck he has all the medals he's bought for these kids. These kids have nothing. This medal means something. As parents, we all laughed because it was our participation medal when our kids got them. But for these kids, it was huge. Tom's sitting in the stands. 5 minutes later, he hears a smash. His window's broken, and he sees somebody hightailing it down the road with all of his medals that he spent $400 American on. He goes chasing after this guy. Tom's pretty fit. If you don't know, Tom's been keeping himself in pretty good shape down there. He runs around a corner to encounter five guys who are probably in their late teens, early 20s. He's trying to reason with them, letting them know that those medals belong to their younger brothers and sisters, and they deserve them. They've earned them. There's just no reasoning with these guys. But what are they going to do with the medals? There's nothing they can do with these medals. So Tom goes and sees a couple guys down the street. He said, "Hey, listen, it's happened to me. Can you help me get these medals back? I'll give you a reward." Within seconds, the guys have weaponized themselves with a baseball bat and a machete. Tom goes, "No, that's not how we deal with things anymore." He sees another guy. He says, "This is what happened to me. Here's 200 pesos. Go get my medals back." He gave him the money. You don't do that. You don't give anybody money in Mexico because you're just never going to see it again. The guy comes back an hour later. Tomas, he's run down the road and he's got all his medals. The kids get their medals. It's a great day. We go up there a month later, and after the team build, we're walking through the community. And as when we get there, Tom and Lily grabbed a bag out of the van. And it was a beautiful gift bag with tissue paper and everything. You didn't see it was a shower gift or a baby gift. We walked all around this community. Everybody's coming up and greeting them, saying hello. They know Tom and Lily. And we're walking along, and I'm kind of interested in this bag. I've been kind of watching this bag all along. We come around the last block. We're only about three houses away from getting back to our van. And Tom and Lily approach this gate in front of this house. Young couple comes out, and you can see that she's the one that's about to have the baby. I'm surprised she didn't have it right there. But you can see that there's a connection. There's embracing, and there's love, and there's this gift. And you can just see the heart. As we're walking away, Lily says to me, "That's the guy that broke into the van and stole the medals." Is that not the love of Jesus being shown, like, right there? Like, that's what MSQ is doing. We can't do that as a team. We don't see that as a team, but that's what the ministry is doing year-round. Those kind of actions like that are pretty cool.
All right, there's another area, local. We got to go local, and you've got 3 minutes. So, and the reason he's timed is because we have to go out to CPC. So if you're wondering why I'm trying to keep Rick on time, that's really a chore to try to keep Rick
on. So the God working stories are not that important. Time is important. Remember that.
Well.
Serve the city.
No, we're not at serve the city.
You're talking local mission.
No, I'm just slow down.
You said local mission.
You got to follow me here. Come on now. Living Edge Market, big passion of yours. You got 3 minutes.
Serve the City has expanded from a one-time-a-year event to multiple events on a weekly basis, actually, which includes Car Care, Cobb's Bread, Living Market. Living Market is something all to itself, and we partner with another organization called Living Edge Ministries. It was started by Church of Our Lord. We're one of 9 operating markets right now. There's one that's still not operating that was. It's kind of shut down over COVID. But as we got started, this organization goes around to local grocers and local retailers, and they're providing produce, dairy, baked goods, and fruit that are coming to the end of its shelf life. And some of it is coming to the end of its shelf life. But there are people in our city who are hungry. There are people in our neighborhoods who are hungry, and they'll take it. There's bananas that I wouldn't touch. They put them in smoothies or maybe make banana bread with them. But in time, we've been almost there for 3 years now. This August marks our 3rd year of operating. I love the word partnerships. Mm. And that's what this market's all about. Yeah. It's partnerships. Right away, I saw other churches who were doing this weekly one by one, and they were tired. They had the same volunteers coming by week after week, and they got tired. I thought, I don't want to do that. I don't want to burn people out. I want this to last the long run. And so we went and got 4 other churches involved. And those churches, we have a rotation of volunteers that come once a week for 4 weeks. Then we started getting support from locals, and especially really happened during COVID. Mm-hmm. We got the phone call from Cisco Foods, from a representative right here in SBC, actually. Said, we got a warehouse full of food we can't get rid of because the restaurants just got shut down. Can you help us out? I think we can. A year later, we're still sending a pickup, actually 14 months later, we're still sending a pickup truck every Thursday to Cisco Foods, and they filled the bed of it. They open the doors, you actually open the doors, it's like Christmas, and there's pallets of food. And retail-wise, probably worth about $10,000. They say, take what you want, leave what you don't. I send Bill out there. I should never send Bill out there, because Bill comes back with everything. He just loves food, he hates to see waste. He'll come back with 14 or 15 flats of mushrooms. That's a lot of mushrooms, if you don't know that. But, you know, we've got not only Cisco Foods, we've got farmers who are supporting us. Gatton Farm. Jason Austin is an amazing guy in this community. You're starting to see some stories about him in the local media. I can't say enough about this guy who just wants to love on his community. Volunteer laborers go up, and we have been working with 5 acres he's given us. Each has little plots. And last year, I think they produced 22 tons of fresh produce that went out to the community. Mm-hmm. Mitchell Farms is getting on board. We're getting stuff now from Mitchell Farms. Sluggett Farms give us corn for our market. We have, it just continues, you know, and we're getting phone calls. I don't even have to chase them down anymore. We're getting phone calls. Level Ground calls me and says, hey, Rick, we got coffee. Can you use coffee? Can I use 40 pounds of coffee? Absolutely.
Cool.
It happens.
Awesome.
And what's happening, what's even better, though, is that we're not just there providing food. We're building relationships with these people because they come week after week after week. We recently had a fellow by the name of George who'd been coming weekly for 2 years. George passed of cancer 3 weeks ago. Everybody on all 4 of those teams knew George. Mm-hmm. We there are others who we put boxes aside for because they have specific needs, and we don't want them to have to run through lines or wait for lineups to get what they need. And so we're being invited into these homes. We're getting a chance to pray with these people. We're actually walking the journey with them. And that is phenomenal. And there's been a real gift to me and the volunteers that have been there. And especially recently, we've adopted Gail and John Bones. And Gail, you've all probably heard of Gail. Gail was the one who was doing all the haircuts at Mustard Seed. She has a heart for prayer. And she walks the line. And every night she asks people, can I pray for you? Nobody gets missed. The entire line, can I pray for you? And a lot of them may have been reluctant at first. Now they're looking for her. She took a week off to go on a bike trip about a month ago. They were like, didn't know what to do because Gail wasn't there.
Awesome.
So can I pray with you? And she says yes, and she prays with them. And they come back a week later. They go, Gail, you won't believe what happened to me this week. She goes, I know exactly what happened. You got the job, didn't you? Yes, and other than that, I got only 2 other offers. Like, God's working in amazing ways.
Good. That's amazing. And that's it for you. You're done now. But it is, you could go on. I know there's lots of other stories, but You know, I was thinking this week, what are four words I would use to describe Rick's 14 years here? Or what would be the words I would use to describe Rick during his 14 years here? And I've got to give them to you real quick. But number one is passionate. Rick has a passion for Jesus, a passion for people, and particularly a passion for Mexico and for Living Edge, especially in these last few years, but a passion for ministry. I think passion is, if you know Rick, like I say, he just tells the stories, and you see it with Mexico, with Living Edge, and serve the city. You have a passion. And I think you're also committed. And, you know, when Rick takes something on, you know it's going to be done well. He's committed, and it's been so fun to watch you grow. Whoever thought you'd be doing weddings and funerals and all these things. And, it's been amazing. Another word I'd use is caring. You have a huge heart for people. And I think anybody that knows you have a huge heart for people. And one of the challenges you gave me this week was make sure we take care of the people at CPC because you've been the campus director out there well. And you just have a huge heart for people. Last word, and anybody on the staff would use this word to describe Rick, it's corny. Rick is amazingly corny. He has corny jokes. He has corny puns. He has corny statements. He has corny ideas, really corny ideas. I don't have time to give you some examples, but he does. But here's the cool thing. That's a gift because he always shares them at a time which we need to laugh. And when Rick shares these corny ideas, they create laughter or eye rolling or whatever it is. And they're often at just the right time. And there's one more word I'd use to describe Rick. It's health conscious. No, I wouldn't actually. Rick, I tell you, eats more junk food than the whole staff team combined. And so my lovely wife this week wanted to do something special for you, Rick, as you wrap up your ministry here. And she thought she wanted to celebrate those things in life that are really special to you. Mm. And so she's got a little gift here for you. Here it comes. I think.
Oh. It's my own shopping cart.
Don't worry, the flowers aren't for you. Okay? We're not. No. So, what we have here. We have flowers for Janine. Thank you, Janine. Ministry, if you don't know, is definitely, if you're married, ministry is you and your spouse, and you sacrifice a lot in ministry, and so, Janine, these flowers from the church for you, and we have a gift from the church to Rick that we're giving him at the other campus, but this is a gift from Sylvia in particular, but Sylvia and me, and so Rick is a Pepsi addict. So he is, aren't you? You're Pepsi. So there's 14 bottles of Pepsi, one for each year. There's 14 bags of candy attached to the bottle. And then on each bottle, there's a memory of a ministry you've been involved with. Like this one is Serve the City Spring Edition. And so we wanted to celebrate you in a special way. And so we want to just give you that. And as a gift from Sylvia and I, and your sugar high is going to be outstanding.
And the corniness of
that. Oh, yes, yes. And the cards are very corny in celebration of Rick. So thank you, dear, for doing that. That's
thank
awesome.
You, Sylvia.
And enjoy.
I mean, that's great for a Sunday afternoon, but what's going to happen tomorrow?
I know. Well, you just sugar up today. And just before, here's what we're going to do. We have a video that Kim and the video team have put together. We're going to show that, and then we're going to have Terry and Chris, two of our servant leaders, come to the front, and we're going to ask Janine to come up with Rick and me, and we're going to pray over Rick and Janine, and then all of us are going to clear the stage, and Rick is going to close. This is actually kind of scary. Rick is going to close the service with last words. I don't have no clue what he's going to say.
Neither does he.
No, and a benediction. And so let's watch this video, and we'll come up in a minute.
Whoa, things are getting a little crazy around here. What? Head to our website. That's the first thing to do. It's got all the information that you ever need, boo. hit that bed. That was bad. That was a cheer at Christmas. What? No. Hit the donate button, and I just stopped it. Help us buy lots of gifts. It's just locked. It's just locked, baby. Give hope to kids and families and good cheer at Christmas. What?
It's been great to have you and worship with you today, Lord. But we don't want to finish now. We want to give you an opportunity to give through your tithes and offerings today, Lord. You can do that through, I keep on saying to the Lord, He's already given today. We're asking you to help us give today, Lord. Stop it. Man. What?
As you can see, things are happening here at SBC. We're making room for life transformation, so let's go on a tour.
Hey, you guys, what's going on over there? I can't build the building. We can't get
building
back.
It's going to be one of the biggest expansions to the building.
Make sure you live a life without fear. Give it to God. Oh, these? Oh, don't mind these. These are actually be giving out to the market today.
You never know what to expect from a youth guy.
What kind of a chicken has this many drumsticks? Like, these must be octopus chickens.
And each of those boxes, hang on there, there you go. Still trying to learn how to do this. Each of those boxes.
Food.
Well, come on up, Rick and Janine. Rick, it has truly been a joy to work with you over the last 14 years. You've added so much to our staff team, to the church. You have added so much to Mexico and people beyond our church. So thank you for all you've done. So appreciate you. So appreciate Janine being there together and ministering. And it has been good. And not only have you been given out and blessed many, but you have been blessed, and I've seen you grow, and it has been amazing. You've been amazing to be part of, and I'm going to ask Chris, I'm tearing up, so I'm going to ask Chris and Terry to come on up before I start crying, and we're just going to take a minute. I'm going to ask you to stand, church, if you would. So nice to be able to say that, and we're just going to pray for Rick and Janine and their future. Rick starts a new job tomorrow. No, wasting no time.
5:30 a.m. I'm
5:30 a.m. And you're going to be working for
Island Custom Cabinetry.
Island
meeting all of your custom cabinetry needs.
There you go. He never stops. All right. So let's take a minute and let's just pray for Rick and Janine and celebrate them. I'm going to ask Terry to pray first, and then Chris, and then I'll close, and then we'll give the last word to Rick. So let's pray together.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Rick and Janine. As Steve said, we thank you for Rick's passion, his commitment, his love for all those that he comes in contact with. And we just ask, Lord, that you will prepare the way for him and Janine as they now go forward into a new segment of their life. We are grateful that he was part of our community. We ask blessings upon them both. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God, we thank you so much for Rick and Janine. God, I thank you for Rick's passion and how infectious it is. Just how he can inspire those around him to be involved, to take part. And I know he was that for me, and I appreciate all the time that I've got to spend getting to know him and Janine through serving at MSQ. God, we thank you for the things that you have done through him and around him here within our community and within the city. Thank you for his commitment to you and to the ministries that he's been working with. Just thank you so much for Janine and for how she supports him and props him up. God, we just pray that you would be with them as they continue on their journey and they move on to what you have next for them. God, we thank you for who they are, and we thank you for your love for them, and we pray blessings on them. We pray that you continue to guide them. In your name we pray.
Father, thank you for Rick and Janine. I thank you for 14 years of journeying together. Father, he's been in this church, and so has Janine, for a long, long time. They've been a rich blessing to this church over many, many years, and we thank you for that. And we especially thank you for the last 14 years. We thank you for how you've used Rick, how you've grown him, how he's developed, how he's been stretched, how he's been blessed by you. But even more so, we thank you for how you've worked through him to bless so many people, through Serve the City, through MSQ, through Living Edge, through his trips abroad, through just loving on people at CPC and other places. God, we thank you for this amazing man and woman of God. We thank you for how you've used them. It has been a joy to work alongside them. Father, we just pray your rich, rich blessing on them. As Rick starts a new job tomorrow, God, we pray that you'll walk with him. You'll keep him strong as he moves into a whole new area of employment. We pray you'll guide both of their steps. I pray that you will keep the passion you have given Rick for people and for reaching out and for you. Keep that alive and burning brightly in him. God, I just pray your blessing on them. We are thankful for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. Now, I can't hug you, so I'll fist pump you. Thank you all. Thank you again, Rick. And Rick, this morning we are giving you the final word, and I'll see you at CPC. Yes, yeah, 11:15. All right.
Yeah, you know, it has been a great time, and I've stood up here many times. I started 14 years ago as executive pastor, and every time I come up, I was a black hat. I was telling you the finances were in trouble, and then I got to come up, and I got to ask you for money because I wanted to go to Mexico with you. I wanted to get you engaged and serve the city, helping to support families in need in our community. It's been an amazing journey, but it wouldn't have happened without God leading me all the way. There's many things in my story that you don't know about. And one of those, at the age of 19, one of my friends was turning 19, and we spent the Sunday afternoon in the bar. And my buddy drove home, and we had a car accident at 70 miles an hour in the pouring rain on Burnside Road and landed in 5 oak trees. I shouldn't have survived that accident. But Jeremiah 29 says, I have plans for you, not to hurt you, not to harm you, but to bring you hope. I have lived that out. I have a blessed life. I have an amazing wife and a family who have supported me and, yes, even some of those crazy ideas. I have a church that has stood up every time I have called you out. I thank you, and I encourage you to do that. I will tell you one thing that bugs us as ministry leaders, and I'm going to be completely blunt and honest here with you. I had a great conversation on Friday with somebody that I've met as a volunteer at the farm, and I was asking them, are they still working at Canadian Tire? And they said, yep. And they're going to be moving to the night shift. And I said, why? And they said, well, because there's so much clutter in the store. If I work at night, then I can have things moved away, and then there's more freedom to make things happen around the building. I go, oh. She goes, but there isn't a night shift yet. We're going to create one. I'm going to try and be a catalyst to make that happen. Can I encourage you to do that? Can I encourage you everywhere you go in life? If things aren't the way you like them, change them. Be a catalyst for change. Don't complain. See a need and fill it. Make that be your mission. Live life with purpose in everything you do. I thank you. I thank you, church. I thank you, those who are here. I thank you for those who are abroad. I am not going to cry today because I am leaving with a peaceful heart, a heart that says, I've done all that I can do here, and God's going to bring in the next person who's going to do an amazing job, and it's going to be seamless. You won't even miss me, and you may not even miss me, As Janine and I kind of reflected coming here today and we were doing the calculations, our family of four have 132 years invested in Saanich Baptist Church. That is not easy to walk away from. So I'm not going to convince you, I'm not going to tell you that we are going to walk away, I'm not going to tell you that we're going to be here next Sunday. We're going to get involved with a micro church. We're going to be a part of that and walking the journey with others. What the future holds, I don't know. You may not see me sitting in a church seat for a little while, but if you see me on the street, make sure you say hello, because I will miss you, and I will thank you again from the bottom of my heart for the way you have supported me in so many ways, and for those who've come and given cards and acknowledgments these last couple weeks, thank you. It means a lot. It really does. I never wanted to be one who needed the attaboys, but I got to tell you, we all enjoy them when we get them. So I want to give you an attaboy as I head out. Thank you. Thank you for the work you're doing. Don't ever stop doing it. Don't ever stop walking humbly, loving mercy, and acting justly in your community. As I finish today, I want to finish with this benediction from 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain."